It's a valid fear, and it's something that we need to tackle in so many different directions. On the individual level, at the school, we're fortunate enough to be able to have those individual conversations and problem solving and planning with every parent who has that type of fear. I would love to be able to set up a type of blended approach so that those students who missed out the last time we were, last term when we were back in school, from accessing what was occurring because we couldn't really work out what we were doing with the technology. This time around, I would like to have a type of blended approach so that those parents who choose for the student to re for their child to remain at home can do so. But I think as a body, the one thing that I've been waiting and hoping to hear about, and I'm really hoping that it occurs soon, is those adult students who require or have requested the vaccine. I would really love to see that program be rolled out. I would love to know that the students have been called. I do receive telephone calls from quite a few parents, and I've had quite a lot of discussions with parents who have registered and have applied and said, "Look, I have an adult child who has special needs, who I would like them to receive the vaccine, who are still waiting to hear what's happening." That concerns me. I am quite concerned about, especially my adults returning without being vaccinated. I do think that it will afford my student population an additional level and layer of security. We at the school, we adhere to all the protocols. We make sure that students keep their masks on. We've got lots of sanitizing stations. We're doing all the things and more that we can to maintain a healthy environment. And this when the term starts, I encourage all classes to spend as much time outdoors and doing outdoor activities as possible. I think, though, as a community, we need to push for the special needs community to be vaccinated. We need to push for the special needs community to have that additional layer of support and understanding because we do have a lot of vulnerable
But
individuals.
Cheryl, Dr. Rock, could it be that the persons you're referring to fell under maybe the 18 to 69 age group with underlying issues, but they didn't separate it for, to be included in that same group?
Well, not all of our students have the underlying issues that are, highlighted, that have been highlighted. A lot of our students have quite, I use the term exotic, but when I say exotic, I mean, like underlying issues that aren't very known in the general public. And I know quite a lot of our population take advice from their doctors, their pediatricians, as they should. But I also think that those who may not have known underlying conditions are still very, very vulnerable. And as a population, especially a group who are returning to school, I think that if we're rolling out a program where the adults are expected to have face-to-face interaction, therefore teachers are being vaccinated. It goes, in my opinion, logically to say, well, our adult population of students also need to be vaccinated. Otherwise, we still only have an X amount of the adults in a particular environment, having some additional level of protection. I don't think that a lot of parents in the special needs community feel that they have enough of a voice to ask those questions and to say, okay, well, what about my child? You know, a lot of our parents, you know, we tend to stand back and we tend to wait and we tend to think, okay, well, soon they're going to call this group of people, or soon we're going to be, you know, noticed, or we're going to be called in. And sometimes I think we just need to make a little bigger of a noise. And my concern at the moment is for the adult students, just as you said, Joanne, because they need to be at school or they need to be somewhere. Being at home is not healthy. But we also need to make sure that when they are not at home, they're still healthy. And I do think that those who want to be vaccinated should be able to do so a lot sooner. And I'm hoping that occurs before school.
Well, resumes. I was just about to say, move on to the Ministry of Education. I don't believe that we have that person online as yet, and I'm hoping that the representative joins us soon, I think at 12 o'clock. But what type of support, and maybe, I know Dr. Rock, your school is private, but for Jillian Cadogan, are you getting the type of support, you know, that you would need? And what, if you are, what kind of support are you getting from the Ministry of Education? And then what else would you like in order for you to be able to give the best that you can give to the children, both ways that they can receive and that you can give? What is happening with the Ministry of Education as far as getting school ready in this environment with special needs? Are you satisfied with what is happening and the plan?
I have a meeting scheduled with my management team, so we are going to take a look at that. As far as I know, we haven't had any word yet from the Ministry of Education regarding exactly what we will do and what we will put in place and what our plans are for reopening. I am sure that plans are in place, but we still have to be apprised of exactly what we will do. But I am sure that there are some protocols and whatnot. We have our monitors for sure that were there last term.
I want to talk about that moving forward. But
monitors were extremely helpful last time we were in school, trying to keep the kids distance, trying to make sure that they did their hand washing, supervising the bathrooms. That was an extremely good idea. And I'm sure that we are going to be returning with that.
But you would say that the protocols from last time we all saw that, you know, I think it was September. Basically, it may just be a repeat and improve where we need to improve. But you're saying that the school monitors is one of the takeaways of success. Anything else that you would have seen information going out to suggest, okay, we think that this is adequate, the spacing of the desk. Did people comply? Did you have difficulties when you actually went back in last term?
Okay, well, what we decided to do last term, especially in the special unit, our unit is very crowded at Eagle Hall. I must say that. Well, we implemented a system where, let's say a shift system, where students were coming in Monday, Tuesdays, others were coming in Wednesday, Thursdays, because we are typically a big group. And we would not have been adhering to protocols had all the children been in every day. So, you know, parents were very supportive in sending in supplies. Ministry was supportive too. The shift system seemed to have worked pretty good. Parents adjusted. You know, we would have had parents saying, well, probably today I may not have anybody to babysit with my child and I have to go to work. But it seems as though adjustment took place because, as you were saying before, parents are in fear. So they want to do whatever they have to do to keep their children as safe as possible. Yes, we have children in units with medical vulnerabilities. yes, we would want our students to return to the classroom because it is the most ideal circumstance for them to learn. But I have had parents telling me, my child will not be returning until September.
Because this is recently, as a parent, okay.
Yes, this is recently, mm-hmm. Especially with Barbados under community spread. Remember last time we were not in this particular situation. Now we're in a situation where you're getting 10 cases today, 12 cases tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we have children who have to travel on public transportation mm-hmm. to get to and fro. So parents mm-hmm. have their misgivings. You know, we can set our policies and our directives. But when COVID arrives in your home and unfortunately takes the life of your child, you have to wonder if it was worth the risk. Mm-hmm. And parents' mental health right now, they're under pressure having to assess this risk. So it might be a toss-up, my child's education or my child's safety. Mm-hmm. And I know that is the tug of war mm-hmm. that is going on
with parents. I can tell you for sure, Dr. Rock, last year, and Dr. Rock, you're probably hearing this for the first time, before they decided to close schools, I actually took my daughter out of school a week before. This was last year, March. And Dr. Rock is actually working with my fears, and she has been, God knows for how long. And she's always saying to me, you know, you need to let go a little bit. And it's difficult because when you have a special needs child and you have a child with underlying issues and you went through the heart surgery and you watch her with all these tubes and then COVID comes and you got to do school, as you said, you have to ask yourself, is it worth the risk? Because I'm the type of parent, I don't even want my kid to stump her toe, you know, because I'm thinking, I went through so much. I don't want to do this
again. Not only that. My daughter's in secondary school and you know, you hear some of her classmates saying, yes, we would love to go back, but we're afraid, mm-hmm. you know, so those typically developing students that understand the impact of COVID to a higher level, you know, they have their fears as well. So these are things that we have to deal with. So if we want them to go back, we have to make sure, as Cheryl said, that we do whatever we have to do to make sure it is absolutely as safe mm-hmm. as possible. So we're waiting to hear what measures the Ministry of Education, what extra measures
extra they will measures put in because
place to make sure mm-hmm. that we are safer and secure. Mm-hmm. But as Dr. Rock was talking about, which is very relevant, our adult and young adult students with special needs being vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Fortunately for us, the Challenger School was able to get their population vaccinated. My son was vaccinated sometime last week, you know, to give them that extra protection and feeling of security for going back to school mm-hmm. when the term opens. That's the adult training facility. But then we have those students who are too young to have the vaccine, and most of them would be in the secondary school population, you know, so we have our fears where that is concerned. Mm-hmm. But I think it is all about conquering our fears. But to conquer these fears, we need to feel secure. What will be put in place for this feeling of security, for us to say, well, okay, yes, I think that I can do this. Because, you know, our children's education is at stake. We have children who have not completed the syllabi and exams are due. We have those with 11 plus, and we have those with special needs who we have fear of regression, you know. Mm-hmm. We're doing what we can, but I guess that is the toss up for parents. What mm-hmm. is the risk mm-hmm.
but let's balance this a little bit, because even me sitting here, exactly. and I don't want people to live in fear. Because then we will have to then, for example, what happened last term that you would, apart from the monitors, you said the monitors were there for the special needs kids, because that's really the main, well, of course, this is the topic, but even if it wasn't, that's the main area for the monitors, in a sense, because you want to make sure that the children distance and do all of the things correctly. What was it like in the classroom? Did you have to space out the desk for your special needs units?
I'm going to tell you what we did. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm going to tell you what we did. We phased the students in, like the first week that opened, we had our older group come in, and we basically taught them how to behave. We taught them the protocols, the signage was up, we had our posters up, and basically our first week's lessons was all about coping in a COVID environment. And they more or less understood what they had to do. And then we brought in our second group, slightly younger. And the older ones would have been following these rules. So you had more or less like peer modeling. Mm-hmm. And we taught them exactly. So we didn't start off with academics when we came in. We started off with lessons regarding how we must behave within this new environment. And most of the students would have understood. But, you know, we have those students who are, as Dr. Rott would have said, profound, and we had to do a little bit more work, and that's where the monitors came in. You know, teachers were all geared up with their masks and their shields. We spoke to parents about which students could wear masks and which students with a face shield be more appropriate. So we basically did as much as we could. And basically, that's okay. It. I don't know what else.
We do have a caller on the line. And here's the other thing to Barbadians listeners. We do brass tacks during the week, and we always have a whole set of people. And I think a lot of people are listening too, because, you know, you get your messages. But I'm hoping that after this show, and even during the show, we have people here that you can speak to if you have some concerns as a parent. And persons with special needs seriously always get put on the back burner for everything, whether it's hurricane season, back to school, COVID environment, all of these other things. And we're here today because we're not looking for empathy. We want for persons to understand the challenges. We want to discuss some solutions. What can the government do? What can we do as parents? What can our friends do and our families do in this environment as it relates to education? Just remember that our children and any child, if you take them away from the norm and doing maths every day or English or cooking or whatever, and you stop, and then it feels like if you have to restart, and in a lot of cases with our children, you may have to start fresh. So I just want to encourage you to do call 434-1790. Send us a WhatsApp 266-4862. Let's take this caller. Good morning. Brass Tack Sunday, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Listening to your program this morning, I'd like to ask the panel, what we really want for our children. What we really want. We want to send to school. We want them to be online. We want them to be friendly with being home and not knowing other people from around the school environment. What we really, really want. We want to protect them from what? We want to protect them from everything. What can we do? What can you all say to the public when you all leave that school today that we want for our children?
No, we will speak from the perspective of special needs today. If Dr. Rock or Jillian, what is it exactly would we like to achieve? The caller is asking for our children in this environment, because he said 1 minute, do we send them to school? Do we not? Do we want them educated? You know, I guess we want everything, but we can't have everything in the way we want it. But you want to answer, Jillian?
Okay.
As a parent,
we want the same opportunities for these special needs children that any other child would have. We want them to learn. We want them to develop. We want them to progress. But we want them to do that in the safest environment possible. You know, and there are a lot of opinions out there. There's so many people to listen to. You have your parenting opinion, the opinions of your teachers, the opinions of your ministry officials, the opinions of your union. So we basically have to come together to make the best decisions possible for all children. Dr. Rock, do you want to weigh in on this?
Most definitely. Jillian, you're absolutely correct. We want what every parent wants. We want our children to be educated, as you said. We want them definitely to be safe. But I think we also have to remember that we are in, number one, unprecedented times. So a lot of people do need to weigh in so that we can work out exactly the best way to do this. But the times are also very, very fluid. And I think the more ideas that are on the table, the more ways of supporting and looking after our students, our kids, our children that we can find, I think that's going to be important, because sometimes they are going to have to remain at home. And I really hope we don't get back to that stage in Barbados, but that is a reality. And I don't think that anyone's health and safety should go beyond or above anything else. You know, I don't think anything else should take precedence, education, a job, anything else, because if you are not well, God forbid, if anything happens to you or your child, then it doesn't really matter how great they were academically. So number one, safety is first and foremost, and that has to be a fluid concept at the moment, unfortunately. We do want a world again where people can be outside. I don't think it's going to look the way it looks at the moment. It may look very, very different, and maybe the same students who are at home and we're wondering how to educate are the ones that are going to come up with the best ideas of how the new world looks. But in order to answer the caller, what we want is a healthy generation who have had the opportunity still to learn, and that may look different, but a generation that we still have in 10, 15 years time that hasn't been decimated as such through COVID and through something that we don't understand. So I think we keep following the science, and we adapt and we change and we do what we need to do to make sure that that occurs, and we have a healthy, safe student body.
Well, I am looking forward again, like I said, at midday to hear from the Ministry of Education about the impact of COVID as far as special needs is concerned. And again, I'm going to ask this question. I know you said about the school monitors, but what else can the ministry do at the government schools to help persons with special needs, and in particularly the parents, to cope, to manage? Do you have social workers at the school, for example, the special needs unit for the parents if there's a problem, even with the face-to-face, even with the online? Is that in place?
Yes, we do. The Ministry of Education, we do have a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but I think that we should have a ministry official here to answer more of your questions. But mm-hmm. I can say that we do have a social worker. Yes, we do.
Okay.
And that social worker visits schools to make sure that we are taken care of. You know, we can basically submit names of parents and children who may need that level of help.
Okay, and what has it been like with children with special needs and keeping their mask on in the classroom when you do face-to-face? What was it like the last time?
Well, some students work well with a mask, some don't, you know, especially the little ones. You will find, okay, my mask dropped off. Okay, I don't know where my mask is, whatnot. And those are the risks. Those are the things that we have to deal with, especially with the very, very young students with special needs. So we basically have to teach them how to handle their safety gear or their safety equipment. And we ask the parents to also support us mm-hmm. in also teaching them what is best, you know, what is best for them to use. Those who can't wear masks, you know, they wear face shields, and we encourage them to keep them on and keep them in place. So it's a day-to-day teaching. Mm-hmm. It's a teaching that really doesn't stop.
So the monitors, the school monitors would assist with that. For example, if you have a child with attention deficit disorder, and you know, then you know you can't get them to just stay one place, and they're doing this and they're doing that. How challenging is that for you, having to deal with a child with a challenge, but yet in a COVID environment, you're still trying to keep them safe as the teacher and the monitor? You know, all of that happening all in one, is it distracting for you as a teacher in this environment, having to monitor them? You mask up, mask down, do this, don't touch this, don't go too close. What has that been like for the face-to-face?
It has been stressful, but we know the reason we have to do it. The monitors, as I said, have been very helpful in that area, but that is all in the name of the game in special needs teaching. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be consistent. You know, you have to repeat yourself many times over. And we want them to understand how they have to behave and how they have to operate. Remember, it is new for us. It is new for them. As we say, the new normal. So it is an ongoing, never changing.
So are the special needs teachers getting support in terms of, we talked about children and parents, but what about the teachers? Are you getting some support from the ministry, because it's a government school? I'll speak to Cheryl on the type of support that her school is offering for teachers, but what about the government, for the government schools, that your experience, I should say?
Yes, teachers have had training opportunities. We have had lots of advice from persons, you know, on relation to how we should act and what we should do. Basically, our teachers learn quickly, and I'm speaking for special needs teachers. They work quickly. We understand the urgency of what we have to do. We're dedicated to our students because, frankly, we work with students that sometimes other teachers might have a frustration with. You know, we create opportunities for them. We have to look for methods and strategies. We're constantly searching for the best way to do what we have to do. So yes, we have been having some support, and you know, the technology is out there. YouTube is out there. We're constantly doing our own research, you know, and,
so what is your asking? Just let me can correct them that, you know, when you said social worker, you weren't saying that the ministry has one social worker. Is a social worker assigned to the school that you're referring to?
As far as I know, we don't have a social worker assigned to our school, mm-hmm. per se. Mm-hmm. I am not sure of that. But again, that would be something that the Ministry of Education would answer for you.
So how does it work then, if you need some support? How does that work in connection with the ministry to provide it? There's no guidance counselor there at the school on staff?
We don't have a guidance counselor on staff. We have a referral system.
Right. How does it work? How does it work?
Well, if it is that the social worker is needed, we mm-hmm. have a referral system. She's on call there, and we can make a call, and she's most of the time always pretty readily available, and she comes down and she takes care of what has to be taken care of. We would like to see more social workers. We would like to see guidance counselors on staff. We would like to see teaching assistants. We would like to see some more personnel available to, you know, to give us the level of support we would need. But all this comes with a cost and finance. Mm-hmm. So
someone is, Sarah, saying that, you know, about going overboard with the whole COVID thing. Because, you know, we do have some people, obviously, who feel different about the pandemic and that maybe there are too many restrictions. And but I think though, as a mother, sometimes even though we may feel that, there's always in the pit of our stomach that level of protection that we, you know, put out there. So this is not putting any fear, and I just want to be very clear. The concerns of parents and children and the teachers, persons with disabilities, there is a fear, like everybody else, but we're here to see how best we can return to school April 20th and what needs to be done, what more can be done. So we were making reference to what happened last term, school monitors, did we have to distance the desk? And of course, we don't have the representative here yet, and hopefully they will get here soon to address all of that. So we're just putting that out there, not just of concerns, but the solutions. If you want to ask any questions, you want to put something out there for the ministry as it relating to your special needs child and your concerns, please feel free to call 434-1790 or to send us a WhatsApp 266-4862. We are discussing children with special needs in this COVID environment. What is happening with them? How are they progressing? What help do they need? What else can we do to help them along? Because it's not easy for parents, period, whether you have a special needs child or not. But it's a little bit more taxing on your brain when you have a special needs child and you have other children, and in order to get ready for school, putting them on a school bus. Now, let's talk about the transportation. Dr. Rock, I know the school carries private transport. What measures are you putting in place for that? And when I say private, well, you know what I mean, the transport board, but an arrangement. What's going to happen there with your children?